prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your story in these words of Scripture. Give us eyes to see your story in the faces of those that surround us. And give us faith enough that by your grace we may serve you until the end of our days. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 78, reading the first seven verses. It's found on page 914 and 15 of the Pew Bibles, if you want to turn there. And let us begin to hear this word of God. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Well, we come this morning re-engaging with our series on the Apostles' Creed, and we're slightly out of order because we had the service Sunday, and so we kind of jumped ahead on a shorter section, and then, of course, we had Cindy Cunningham with us last Sunday. How great was that to have her here with us? And to hear the stories of how God's been at work over, and God, it's just been beautiful to hear. So we're continuing in our series in the Apostles' Creed, and just as a reminder of where we're at, we're going to go ahead and say the Apostles' Creed together. This one will remain seated for. We're just going to recite it together, and then we'll stand for the one, since it's a Communion Sunday, we'll stand for the one when Pastor Phil leads us in the Apostles' Creed just before Communion later in the service. But let's read the Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So I'd like to start with a story that was told by late Pastor Clive Calver. It's a story of when he went to visit the third grade Sunday school class at his church. The class had been preparing for his visit and had decided that they were going to memorize and recite the Apostles' Creed for him. Well, that'll make every pastor proud. And so each student had learned and memorized just one phrase of the creed so that when it was their time to recite it, each of them would say their part. So when the pastor came in, the class was seated on the floor and around each child, and you would hear their part. And this young girl goes first, and she goes, I believe in God the Father Almighty. The next one says, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. And they continued on through the creed until they got to the phrase where it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Instead, there was just silence. It got a little awkward, and finally one kid offered an explanation. Sorry, Pastor, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today. There's a lot of truth to that statement in the American church today. For many of us, if we found ourselves pressed with the question to who is God or who is Jesus, you have enough knowledge to possess and to help process a formidable answer to their question. But for many of us, if someone were to ask you, who is the Holy Spirit, I garner the most common response might be, you know, my pastor would have a great answer for you. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but for many of us seems to be the most mysterious. The truth is that we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit more in our lives than we do the direct presence of the Father or the Son. But because of our five human senses that don't come in direct contact with the Holy Spirit, we have a hard time explaining who is the Holy Spirit to others. Well, the word Spirit in the Old Testament Hebrew is ruach, and in the New Testament, it's pneuma. So the word ghost is an appropriate translation, and some of us have heard of the Holy Spirit referred to as the Holy Ghost, and some of us may even memorize the Apostles' Creed saying, I believe in the Holy Ghost, right? And that is absolutely appropriate because both can be translated either way. But those words also can be translated as breath or wind. And I think that begins to give us a glimpse more of what the Holy Spirit can be for us and why it's sometimes so hard to see. Well, it's fall around here, and as we learned yesterday, it gets windy this time of year. So let me ask you all a question. Have you ever seen the wind? Oh, I see some of you nodding, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait. It's a trick question, isn't it? Right? Because none of us has actually ever seen the wind. And as an amateur meteorologist, that's something I'd love to see, but you can't, because you can't physically see what is causing the wind. But what you can see and feel are the effects of the wind, right? We feel the air push across our faces. We see the trees sway. We see the leaves fall, and more leaves fall. And more leaves fall. We see things get moved around, or even as happened yesterday, stuff get blown over or pushed into the street. Why? Because of what the wind does. We understand that it's the wind that's causing it, but it's the effect that it's having in the world around us. We're not seeing the wind itself, we're seeing its effect. And to understand who the Holy Spirit is, we must take a similar approach. To fully understand, we must just understand and take a look at the effects the Spirit has on our relationship with the Holy Trinity, specifically with Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. So with that, let's look at our second passage this morning. That comes from John. It starts in John 15 at verse 26 and just moves seamlessly into chapter 16, verse 15. And I'm not going to get into why it splits across chapters. That's another conversation for another time. But let's hear now the word of the Lord. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. When the Advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All of this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. But I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who has sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away, because unless I go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you that what is yet to come. For he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive, and what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning we're going to take a look at three evidences of the Holy Spirit at work. And this is in an effort to help us better understand what the Holy Spirit is actually doing. The first is how the Holy Spirit points us to Christ. The second is how the Holy Spirit makes us like Christ. And the third is how the Holy Spirit helps us be Christ in the world. So let's take a look at that first evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, pointing us to Christ. Martin Luther, who was considered the father of the Reformation and the founder of the Lutheran Church, had this to say about this first work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Luther's statement is a profound one and based strongly in Scripture. Have you ever stopped to think about it for a moment? We cannot and do not come to faith in Jesus Christ on our own. It is always a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes to see the truth, that we are living in darkness because of sin and that we need a Savior. Then the Holy Spirit shows us exactly who the Savior is. Jesus the Christ. Maybe kind of hard to understand, though, how this actually happens. So let me give you an illustration. Imagine being in a dark theater, unable to see the stage, much less anyone seated around you. The show's about to start. The lights are dark. You can't see a thing. You can't see a thing until the spotlight operator turns on the light. Well, the Holy Spirit is that spotlight operator and throws the spotlight into the darkness that has been surrounding you. And then as your eyes begin to focus, you begin to see that which is illuminated on the stage of life by that spotlight, and it is none other than Jesus the Christ. We don't find Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus and helps clear away the darkness in our hearts so that we can then come to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we think back, some of us may be able to recall how the Holy Spirit led us in our faith. Sometimes it's through other people. Sometimes it was through powerful moments. Sometimes it was through painful losses. But in each moment, the Holy Spirit gave us clarity to see our need for a Savior. That's the first evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit, pointing us to Christ. Well, the second evidence of the Holy Spirit's work is making us more like Christ. I grew up in Northern California during my teen years and early college. And I had a youth volunteer leader who loved to restore old vehicles. And I remember one in particular was an old 1940s Chevy truck that he was working on that he had literally found in a field overgrown just outside of town. In fact, we'd gone by this field on Old Alturas Road so many times, you had no idea the vehicle was out there. How he found out it was out there covered in the weeds, I don't know. But he did. He talked to the owner, hauled it away, and got work on it. And one day in particular, I watched as he was sanding all of the rust off the body of this truck. It was a tedious task. It took him months to complete just that part. But when I came back another time when he was done, you could see the beauty of the old metal truck now ready for a new coat of paint. And I remember asking him why he liked working on old cars. I was the impatient teenage type. How can you take that long to work on something like this? And his answer was simple. He said, I just love to restore things to what they were meant to be. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very much in the restoration business. The Spirit knows that we were created in the image of God to reflect God's glory in all that we do. But sin has put some serious rust in our lives, keeping us from living to our fullest godly potential. The blueprint of our potential is seen in Jesus Christ. And once we come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit can then get to work on our personal restoration project, making us more like Jesus. And the Spirit does this work in different ways. Sometimes it's tough work, like showing us that our lives, that we have things in our lives that we need to turn away from, or asking God to forgive us. It's helping get the rust off and break the negative effects of sin in our daily lives. But then sometimes it's uplifting work by bringing other godly people into our lives, family, friends, mentors, fellow church members, to help model for us what a life like what a life restored is supposed to look like. And then sometimes it's powerful work. As a part of that restoration work to make us more like Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, like a supercharged engine, that allow us to do certain things really well for the work of the kingdom. In fact, the result of the Holy Spirit's work of restoration in our lives is then seen in the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit that it leaves in us. So instead of negative, sinful fruit like jealousy, anger, discord, hatred, envy, idolatry, or immorality, we instead see the fruit of the Spirit. And many of us know this fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the always elusive self-control. Right? Friends, when we see this fruit in our lives, we begin to recognize it's not coming from us. That is the proof that the Holy Spirit has been at work and that restoration project is going and going well. Second evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives is making us more like Christ. But now the third and final evidence of the Holy Spirit at work is helping us to be Christ to the world. Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' final words to his disciples before his ascension, when he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we talked about how that's here in our community, in our city, in our metro region, in the state, and beyond, right? Well, if we go back to that previous analogy we just looked at the restoration project of the old car in the garage, it's one thing to get that old car looking nice. It's another thing to get it driving, right? To get that thing going and get it on the road. The Holy Spirit not only brings us to Christ and helps restore us and make us like Christ, but the Holy Spirit then helps restore our engine as well and get us roadworthy so that we can go out and be Christ in the world. So when you see Christians making great things happen in the world in the name of Jesus, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit being at work, helping them be Christ to the world. What are some examples of this? Well, the other day, I was not quite fully awake on my way to the office here, so I made a Starbucks run right over here in Hillsboro. And I'm going through the drive-thru, and So I put the order in, I pull up, and they take the payment. And, you know, they're trained to make small chat, right, to help kind of keep that time going. And she says, well, you have any exciting plans today? And I'm thinking it's a Tuesday. What exciting plans could one have on a Tuesday, right? But I told her, I said, I'm headed to work. And she said, so what do you do for work? And she's probably thinking Intel or so, you know, something else. And I told her I was a pastor. Well, all of a sudden, she got this bright look on her face. It immediately sparked a conversation. And she had told me that she'd had a church right up until COVID hit, and then she moved, and now in this new job, she was having to open on weekends, especially in the mornings, so she couldn't go to church on Sunday mornings. And she said, I've been looking for a church that has a Saturday night service. And then before we left, she said, I hope that you have a good day at church today. And every once in a while, I'll run into her at that drive-thru, and it sparks a continuing conversation. Another example. Former parishioner of mine was talking with their coworker. This was after COVID. Their coworker's mom had just been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Just horrible, horrible diagnosis, and they caught it late. And so she's talking with this coworker, and it's that moment of, what do I say? Like, how can I say something to my coworker to offer them some sort of peace or hope in this moment? And she said, all I could think of was, like, she said, it was immediately in my mind of, may I pray for you? And she said, I found myself saying it before I even realized I was saying it. Well, that was a spirit thing, right? Her coworker immediately said, oh, yes, please. Well, she had no idea what her coworker's faith background was. And so they start praying, and she said, I literally didn't know what to pray, and the words came right out of my mouth. And she said, it was the most beautiful prayer. I've never prayed anything like that before in my life. And she said, and it was just these perfect words of comfort for my coworker. And she said, we've continued to pray. She said, now I'm going every day and just saying, how's your mom doing? How can I pray for her? How can I pray for you? And she said, it just began something beautiful. Friends, that is the Holy Spirit doing the work of helping make us Christ in the world. That's living examples of it. Coming alongside those in need, giving a listening ear or helping those who have need, bringing comfort and encouragement and bearing one another's burdens. Oh, you do that so well as a church family. That is a spiritual gift of yours. Speaking a word of truth about the freedom we have in Christ, showing others how to forgive, living a life of generosity of God's work, finding our place in ministry, outreach, mission, resisting the lies of idolatry, universalism, or materialism in our world, and just being witnesses of Christ by allowing our hearts to be broken by the things that break God's hearts while seeking holy justice through a life of divine love. That's being Christ in the world. Does that sound like a life worth living? The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the ability to do that and more, not as individuals, but as a community. And filling us with the same power that Jesus promised, giving us opportunities to be like Christ, and then giving us the eyes to see the fruit of the Spirit at work in the world. And the greatest sign of the Holy Spirit at work is when the Spirit gathers believers together, sometimes in one local church, sometimes in many churches together, sometimes with believers all around the world, to come together in the successful mission of completing the work of the kingdom of God. Friends, that's the third evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. So in conclusion, I want to ask you this question this morning. What evidence have you seen of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? What work of restoration has the Spirit been doing inside of you? How has the Holy Spirit been moving in your life to help you be Christ in the world? These are not only questions that we need to ask ourselves personally, but we need to ask it together as the HPC church family. Because I believe that God is preparing HPC for a new chapter of life and ministry in this, not only this local neighborhood, but also in the city of Hillsboro, and to continue to have an outreach in the world. Now, we all can't be like the boy in the Sunday school class and forget the Holy Spirit. But instead, we need to pray that God will continue to open our eyes and see the work of the Holy Spirit around us and open our hearts to letting the Holy Spirit continue to restore and transform us in the likeness of Christ and into the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we don't spend enough time recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit, recognizing how you are at work among us. But when we take a moment, we recognize that the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts that you have given to us. Outside of your work on the cross and your resurrection from the grave that restored our relationship with our Creator, but the gift of the Holy Spirit as our secret best friend that's always with us, always speaking encouragement to us, always lifting us up and bringing those people around us that we need. We feel that nudge. We know it's from you. We hear your words that we realize are not our own. That's from your Spirit. Lord, may you continue to let your Spirit open our eyes to see more and more the fruit of your Spirit, to see that work that you have done in us and in others, restoring us more into the likeness of the image of Christ. And may our hearts continue to be open to doing your work in the world because of the power of the Spirit at work in us. It's in your holy and most precious name we pray. Amen.